Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Boats and hoes, boats and hoes. You win some, you lose some. Boats and hoes. Hello, welcome to the podcast. I am Richard. With me to chat about a film is Abby
Hello.
and Boneneck Jamie.
Yep.
And we are going to talk this week about the film Murd from 2012, starring Matthew McConaughey and Sir Reese Witherspoon and Jacob Lowland, Ty Sheridan, Sam Shepard, Ray McKinnock, and Michael Shannon and Sarah Paulson. And that's enough people named there. And it is written and directed by Jeff Nichols. And it is basically about a handsome, dirty hobo who lives in a boat in a tree, enlisting the help of two slightly naive boys to help him get it running again so he can get back his girlfriend. Yeah. And I'm a bit disappointed because at no point does anyone explain the stupid nicknames in this film, like one of the kids being called Neckbone. And the fact that no one says, yeah, his name's Mud around here, like the phrase, your name's Mud. That's why you get called it, is because it's bad and dirty, right? It's a dirty word. But no, he's just called Mud and no one questions it. And a kid could be called Neckbone. And even normal names are like fucking Gallon, Galen, Galen?
Oh,
That's what it's called.
Galen, yeah.
Yeah, Galen and fucking
I
stuff.
think I have a simpler synopsis. This film is about two shitty kids and a shitty man learning to be slightly less shitty together.
Are they
A
learning though?
little bit.
Oh, I'm not convinced.
Also, you can't talk about inexplicable neck bones when the three of us grew up in Wales,
I didn't know
where
any neck bones.
you know, I know a man called Jam Potts, and I
Okay.
have no idea what his real name
All right,
is.
I do know a guy called Lee Bonnet.
There you
And he
go.
did he
You know a guy called Teapot Head.
Yeah, but that's just a nickname, like the school ground shit. Yeah,
That's what I
it's not
mean, though. So it's
John
neck
Teapot
bone.
Head. Yeah, but it's the way he said it as well, it's like, oh, his name's Nick Bone. No. Neck bone, not Nick bone. Don't call him, call me Neck for short. Okay, people have silly nicknames. You're right. I should have been more accepting. I just want an origin. I mean, I'm disappointed we don't get your origin for, what was the name? Something Pot? What?
Jam Potts?
Jam Pot, and you don't know why.
No idea. Don't even know what his real name is. I've known him since I was a small child.
I can tell you that Lee Bonnet, the rumor was he fell asleep on a car bonnet, so he got called Lee Bonnet.
Hilarious.
Good stuff. I can tell you that Michael Chip was called Michael Chip because he liked chip shop dinners. Who doesn't? But sure. I mean, I didn't know why it was called Mud. I assumed it might have been because they stomp along in mud all the time because it's a dirty island. But yeah, no. Guy called Mud. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Anyway, why did I pick this film for us all to watch? I just was in the mood for some McConaughey. I hadn't been a big fan of his until I'd accumulated a few different films of his to watch, and I was like, there's something about this guy. I sort of written him off as a slightly handsome, hockey prick, but a lot of his characters are weirder than that, and he tries to cover up the fact that he's devilishly handsome. By playing weird, like basically homeless people these days are eccentrics and dislikable do-badders. But I don't know. I think he's an interesting actor, and I sort of wanted to do something of his. And this was a weird one I came across that had a cool boating vibe. I just sort of there's something chimed with me that I liked the fact that they spend a lot of time on the river. And you don't see that many communities who live on a river and stuff, do you? It's either a trailer park or the proper boonies out in the middle of nowhere. This is like a sort of working man's river town. Where was it set? I'm actually not sure. Don't remember.
It's Arkansas.
Mississippi River.
Arkansas, I think, might be right. It don't matter. It's a fucking river, isn't it? River, poor river town where people live in river boats that are kind of houses or something. Anyway, anyone, Abby, had you seen or heard of Mud before?
I'd heard of it, but it didn't particularly interest me, though.
Are you a McConaughey like I'm slowly becoming?
Especially, I have nothing against the guy, but I don't seek him out very much.
He turns up. You put up with it.
Do.
So, no expectations. Well, it didn't look like your bag.
Yeah. But then it's one of those ones where the cover doesn't do much, so like, how much can you possibly tell?
Yeah, the cover and the title. It's like,
So it's called
okay.
Mud, and he looks a bit dirty.
So
It's
it's
like,
about a
oh.
guy called Mud. Okay.
He's also, McConaughey is also in a film called Gold. So he does all sorts.
Is he standing on the cover with his hand on his hip, looking a bit goldy?
Probably. It's just they've made him look fake balding in it, I think, on Gold. I mean, it's confusing because he's in a film called Gold and he's in a film called Fool's Gold. I didn't watch that one because I'm not a fool. I just watched Gold Gold. Gold Gold was okay. Depends what your interest is. If it's in someone swindling people into buying a gold mine, then it's for you. I don't know. He
Wait,
stands
what's
on the
it
lot.
called?
Gold. It's called Gold. Mud. Gold. What else? He does. He's done Contact. He's done Serenity. He's
Wait.
done Sahara. These are just films with Matthew McConaughey and with one word I'm trying to think of.
Was he in Contact?
Is it not Contact?
Are you thinking of Interstellar?
He's in that as well. I mean, Matthew McConaughey's in Contact. He was Palmer Joss, whoever that is. He was in it. That's true. Anyway. So, Jamie, had you heard of or seen this film before?
I remember it coming out. Like I remember it being in like, the poster of, the word mud with Matthew McConaughey standing looking a bit dirty
Yeah.
on it in cinema. But yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I think I kind of assumed it was more of a thriller and would have been a bit darker. Like I was expecting it to be like a, the twist is he's like more of
Pedophile
a
or something.
villain or a scumbag or
Well, he
whatever.
is a
I was,
scumbag.
yeah, I no, I mean like much worse. Like I thought it was going to be,
Kids befriend someone who's genuinely evil and awful.
yeah, and they like accidentally reunite him with a woman who was trying to get away from him because of like abuse or whatever. And
Sure, that'd be
I thought
funny,
it
wouldn't
was, I no,
it? Darkly
but yeah, I thought it was going to be darker than it was.
cult.
Yeah, no, I like it's just one of those films that sort of existed, and now that I've seen it, it's one of those films that also just sort of exists. It's strange. Like I watched it and was like, that was all right.
When I watched it the first time, I just sort of thought, well, there's not many things like that, is there? It's not really like, I don't know, it's not as funny as something like Trailer Park Boys, where people get up to stupid schemes and it's fairly poor. Like, I couldn't think of anything that's the same tone. There's a film where he plays, well, it's called The Beach Bum, where he's again trying to portray
Yeah.
someone homeless. And somehow spawned, so, oh, I'm homeless, but also kind of cute still, don't worry about it. But then that's completely tonally different. And there's a film called Killer Joe, which he's in, where he's a bit of a prick in that, and
Oh, that's
just
yeah, that's one
it's
that's on my,
tense.
that's been on my sort of radar for a while because it's a William Friedkin film. And I've been curious
There's a
to
bit
watch
where
it.
the eating fried chicken scene is quite something. Anyway, we didn't do that. We hit this and this film just for me was just it's not an aspect of anyone's life you get to see very often, like just the working man's river town. Like we got various people live on the river, but also Michael Shannon's character makes a living kind of scuba diving in a
Yeah, his
very
amazing helmet
tin
setup that
helmet
he
thing.
has. Old school, what's it called? Diving bell?
Yeah, he's kind of fashion. It looks like he's made his own one. Like it's a big metal barrel that he puts gym weights on
Yeah,
scuba dive down.
one of the things in this film, I guess what one of the things I do like about this film is it sort of alludes to things in people's lives, but then just moves on because it's not the focus of the story. So there's tons of stuff about Michael Shannon's character where it's like, I want more about this guy because he lives a strange life.
Yeah, there's a lot of color in the film, like to people's backgrounds, but not just adding to the feel of it or
It's
the style
very
of the story, but not leading directly into anything.
it's got a kind of like slice of life feel to it, but with more of an actual story. But it's very well observed in terms of all the like peripheral characters.
Yeah, there's a clear universe. Almost, you could see a TV show being set in this world.
Yeah.
And this is
I
just
wouldn't watch
a
it,
but you know, like Abby, you've seen the film Treme, right? That has a very rich, in that case, New Orleansy universe, but it has a vibe and
Wait,
a
you mean
feel, right?
TV show. You don't mean
TV
film.
show. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen Tremé.
But
I
it
could
has like a
see how you
consistent,
would, yeah.
it has a feel to it. Like there's a All of the people in the show feel of a place and time that evokes something, and I think this could have had a universe of that. Like Jimmy says, probably wouldn't have watched it, but like it, you know, it, I like that it was different to lots of stuff I've seen. Even other river-based movies can be very exploitative, and it gets into kind of hillbillies and you know
Yeah.
cannibalism and rape and murder,
That's yeah,
you
it's not
know.
like Deliverance, but no, it's quite like pedestrian's the wrong word because that's more insulting, but like it's deliberately sort of low key. And it's I don't live in Arkansas, but it's like there are some elements of the culture that is portrayed in this film, like what
Yeah.
this community's like, that was really familiar to me now having been here for quite a while. Like I could kind of recognize the types of characters in this film in like real
Sure.
life as well, like ca characters in the way that you would say it in real life. Like he's a boy, isn't he?
Sure. Do
Yeah.
you have your own brand of Piggly Wiggly in Missouri, Jamie?
There is not there I no I don't think there is I don't think Piggly Wiggly is in the
Anywhere
state.
other than that. I'd shop in the Piggly Wiggly, I'll tell you that much. It looked like a pretty normal store, actually.
I don't know if I've seen a Piggly Wiggly. I hate
Abby,
saying
have you seen a Piggly Wiggly, Abby?
it. I got excited because I thought it wasn't real, and then I saw
No,
it in
it's
this.
real.
Now Jamie's saying that he hasn't seen one, so maybe it's not real.
No,
This
it
is
is real.
real. Piggly Wiggly is definitely a real place, or was.
Okay, in which case
And
I
the fact
desperately
that,
want to go to a Piggly Wiggly.
and everyone was
Florida,
very,
Texas.
everywhere brings it up very matter of fact as well, like not fussed that the store that they've seen someone in is called the Piggly
Okay,
Wiggly,
this is what we're talking about now for the rest of the podcast.
or Piggly
So,
Wigglies.
yeah. Okay, I found a map.
Yes,
Let's
we're
see.
going on a
Well, it's
little
most.
tour.
It looks like
Every
it's
white
mostly.
trash places.
It is no, there's quite this is a surprising number of
Piggly Wigglies
East
in
Coast
Connecticut, is there? New
most of
Hampshire
them.
Piggly Wigglies.
All right, you carry on. I'm going to pin this down.
So while Jamie makes a map of all the Piggly Wigglies he's going to visit. Anyway,
I think I'm ever going to get tired of hearing the words Piggly Wiggly.
I think it's starting to wear on me now. Anyway, this story is that of two young boys, sort of tweeners, teenagers, who are old enough to have motorboats and ride motorbikes and have jobs, but in a kind of probably underage, shouldn't, and off the books kind of jobs that you do for your dad. You help people and can use. They're old enough to do stuff, but they're not old enough to have their own independent lives, innit?
I don't know. I feel like we all grew up in similar sort of poor people South Wales culture. Did anyone else watching this film not think, I know, like, or I knew 5+ kids like these two
Oh,
growing up,
definitely.
especially Neckbone. But
Yeah.
Neckbone reminded me of several people I grew up with.
Maybe that's why I didn't like him.
Yeah, just from the wrong council estate. Come chops in about
Like if you put
something.
a yeah if you put like a kind of scraggy Umbro jumper on Neckbone,
Oh, yeah.
then he could
Inst
slot into my primary school very
yeah.
easily.
I liked the t-shirt he was wearing. He had like a
Oh,
Fugazi t-shirt on. I
yeah.
was like, that's a weird for a kid his age at this time
Oh,
period. What the fuck
that
is
was from
he?
his uncle. That was from Galen,
Yeah,
because Galen had guitars and shit everywhere.
Oh yeah, he must have been like a fan. It's those kind of clothes where you just wear it because it's there, not because you picked it, isn't
Yeah.
it? And
Galen's
because
molding him into another version of him, I think.
perhaps, yeah. Yeah, probably my favorite character in it is Michael Shannon's character Galen,
I
because
mean, usually if Michael Shannon's in something, he's probably going to be your favorite character in that thing.
yeah, I hope Abby would sway you into liking it. I thought that you'll be happy to watch it because you like a bit of Michael Shannon-ish, don't you?
He's the only reason I made it to the end.
Well, there's also not a lot of him.
Sparing. His introduction's great as well. I think some woman is leaving the. I don't know if it's a caravan or a house they
Oh
live
yeah,
in.
his like his shagging music's on.
Yeah, so they're making
Neckbone
fun of
says
that.
that, yeah.
And then the woman storms out and gives the kids, like these young boys on the stoop, advice about how much of a prick his uncle is, basically, and to treat women good. And then she storms off. And then he comes out vaguely nonplussed in scuba gear that he has pulled down to his waist. And it's just like trying to get it to come back.
Yeah, because he did something
I
in the
think he was.
bedroom that set her off and made her leave, but we never found out what it was.
I feel like he must have tried to slip a thumb in, mid coitus. That's what it felt like to me, that kind of thing.
But it there's an interesting little aspect in that scene where I think Neckbone gives the main kid Ellis, is that his name?
Yeah, Alice, the book.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, but it's like a self-help guru book, and Galen's
Yeah.
like,
Oh, that's good.
make sure you do the questionnaire at the end or the exercises at the
Who
end. I'm like, God, I really want to know more
is
about
this guy?
Galen.
Yeah, we'll come back to him because there's a few teens he's in, and it'll help break up our chat. Yeah, I thought he was great. Michael Shannon is great, as you say. And he was an interesting character. But I guess it's about two boys who are like, oh, we've got 15 minutes. Let's drive the boat to an island we're not supposed to go to and then spend 5 minutes there on a timer. Like, I don't know why you'd go somewhere if you can't be there for
Well, I
long.
think it they didn't they already knew that the boat was in the tree, or Galen had told them about the
Right.
boat in the tree.
Okay, so they're aware the boat's there. They want to have a look at it. They're intrigued by a boat in a tree, which is very, that's a very council estate thing to try and
Yeah.
investigate,
Yeah,
even though they
except it
wouldn't
would be
be
a
an
burnt
island.
out car in a field.
Yeah, exactly.
Still a similar scenario though, like either
Yeah.
way, there's been a man wanking in it.
Yeah,
Much,
yes.
much
So
like
we
what
got to go
happens
to
here.
the abandoned schoolyard with a broken down bus and go see the homeless man who lives in there. Yeah, I mean they don't know there's a bloke living in the boat in a tree, but that's their interest. But I just was annoyed that they have to be back because they're, I don't know, one of them has a strict father who know
I
they'll be
think
gone too long at home.
this is a symptom of what we were talking about before the podcast about you getting older and being excited about a vacuum cleaner. It's like, oh, boys, come on, you need to get home. It's you're just annoyed that these kids are doing what they're not supposed to be. They're on a timer.
It's not that so much for me. It's that, I don't know, there's this sort of like, they see it, they go in, they see people's stuff there, and they're like, oh, this is my boat. It's like, oh, he was there first. It's his boat. He would fuck off.
Well, they did say that they were like, well, they go, well, they do, as you say, Abby. They go into this boat in a tree, and they're like, "Whoa, cool! It would be cool for kids to climb into a boat in a tree."
It would be
And
cool for me to do that now, and I'm nearly 40.
it's true. You might find it hard getting up. It's all my back.
I'd be all right getting up and down. It would be the next day I'd pay for it.
I think the thing is, they go in and then. The clues to there being someone living there. Well, one is the footprints that Ellis is sort of half playing with, half looking at, and realizes there's some weird muddy footprints of cowboy boots here with a little cross on the heel. Oh, what's that about? And then it's the wait a minute, there's bread and fresh bread and porn here. Someone's obviously staying. And at that point, you just put yourself in the washing machine and never go back because you've definitely touched hobo spunk, haven't you?
Yeah,
Disgusting.
Neckbone's got his hands all over those presumably
Yeah.
worn
I mean, p porno in there would have
magazines.
been porno in a tree in a boat or whatever would be that's pay dirt, isn't it, to a kid, a teenager.
It's like porn magazines scattered all over the railway.
Yeah, exactly. It's the classic porn in the woods, only it's in a tree in the woods. But like once as soon as there's food nearby, you're like, oh, this is fresh porn, fresh from the wank.
Oh God, I don't like the phrase fresh porn.
Oh, you
No.
weren't like left for a while.
Oh. Oh
Matured,
God.
mature vintage. Anyway, so yeah, they wanna play keepsies and have this as their, I guess, their den that they can sometimes go to. But yeah, it's tough shit, isn't it, Abby? Because it's
Taken.
been bagsied
It's been
yeah.
marked.
By a handsome rogue slash dirty hobo.
I don't think it's a natural thing. I think he's putting it on, but like you said about Matthew McConaughey, like desperately trying to make himself not quite as handsome as he actually is.
Yeah.
He's doing that thing where his jaw's kind of skewed. Like it's
Yeah.
out of place. Just anything he can do to take away from his attractiveness.
Yeah, like just playing with trash, like he's playing with a toy, fishing reel, and smoking cigarettes a certain weird way, and having re those really dirty when he has really dirty hands and he's scooping raw beans out,
Oh,
and eating them with his hands, you're like,
you know
oh, yeah, fair play.
what's
No.
much worse that he does a little bit later is where he's eating the little cocktail sausages in the can, and the kid does it as well, and he's fucking drinking the juice.
Oh.
Oh
Oh, council estate
yeah,
milkshake, we call
fucking
that.
cold, wet cocktail sausages from a can.
Oh, cocktails. It's a cocktail. It's a co little co cocktail.
Are you
Oh,
right?
sausage
No.
juice. It's not right. But
Ugh.
yeah, the boys are like, "Oh shit, we have to go as well." So they go back to their little proper boat, non-tree based boat, and then realize there's some footprints. And then, like magic, a hobo appears
He does. He
behind
appears like
them.
fucking Mr. Ben.
He does, like the shopkeeper, Mister Ben.
That's it, the shopkeeper.
And they're like, "Oh, is this us getting murdered, or are we going to be
Yeah.
friends?" And basically, he's this slightly weird guy that could easily make you think, oh, this is a proper wrong'un or a paedophile or possibly fine. But he's just a guy who's a bit odd, and they get to chatting and basically have to go quite quickly, but they do a bargain of bring food and you can have the boat, quotation marks. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with a boat in a tree,
Well, no,
but
isn't it? the deal is ultimately to help him get the boat back on the water, and
I don't
then
think. I think
he'll.
they want the
Oh,
boat
is that
initially,
in
and
exchange for a gun?
oh, that's later.
yeah, later
So
on they have to
I'm
they
skipping
change
ahead,
the
yeah.
terms of the deal where once Mud, who we find out is the name of this hobo, he essentially needs the boat and therefore does another deal, which is to if you help me get the boat running, I'll give you my gun. Yeah, which is a nice trustworthy thing to do.
Yeah.
And in America, you go, yeah, of course. Well, that's basically the second
To
form of currency, is it not?
be fair to Mud, he doesn't give the kid bullets for the gun.
This clever little thing, because you children famously can't get hold of bullets. One will ever die now. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's as a relationship starts, you're kind of thinking this is a bad idea. But obviously they're going to keep returning to this guy. I mean, it's like, you can return with some food for a guy because you feel sorry for him. It's not that delusional, is it? Like, naive young boys they may be, but you might feel a bit of sympathy towards him. I think Neckbone is like, oh, we're not going back, are we? Like, that was
Yeah,
that.
no, of that's what I like. Of the two of them, Neckbone is the more kind of sensible and mature one.
Yeah. Abby, what do you make of these two boys? You didn't seem to be very fond of the film, I don't think.
I did not find them charismatic or endearing.
Apparently, they scoured for met. They cast a very wide net for. They tried out 2,000 plus actors before casting who they
Well,
did as Neckbone.
it's already difficult, I think, to find decent kid actors, and then
Yeah.
for a film like this,
Requires an extra level of realistic
yeah,
portrayal, doesn't it?
and I think, I don't know, for me, I thought they're definitely not necessarily likable, and Ellis is a bit of a dweeb for a main
Yeah.
character. I was like, oh, he's okay. Like, I'd
His
rather,
naivete is annoying, and
yeah,
he's
like,
so
I'd
hung up
rather,
on the concept of love. He's a bit of annoying that way. A Neckbone's more realistic.
yeah, I like, just generally, I would enjoy the film more if Neckbone and his uncle were the main characters. But as
Any film that really hinges around love based on nothing irritates me. It's like,
Oh.
I saw her and I was in love. No, you didn't. You saw her and you got a boner. That's what happened.
Oh, Abby, storybook love. It's
It's
the
the same
romantic.
thing when you're a 13-year-old boy, to be honest. But I think for how difficult a position they're potentially in, their performances are good. I think it's more whether or not you are going to connect with these types of characters. And I
I think
think,
they're good. They're good, well-written characters, and they're well acted. But like Abby is saying, you might not love them.
yeah, I mean, I did, I found Ellis kind of annoying, and yeah, his like naivety and his like,
You'd be glad when he's bitten by a snake, then, and his life was in danger. Were you happy to see him writhing around in pain?
he wasn't writhing. He
Oh,
was
just
exactly as limp as he'd been the entire rest of the
oh, boom. Harsh. Abby's been on a long kick of movies that have annoyed her, so I think there's a lot of venom in her bite today.
time.
Fucking Yentl! Bloody flash dance! Ah! Are you a fan of Matthew McConaughey in this, Abby? Do you like Murd?
No, I also think he's. I think all of them are boring. The only thing that kept me going was that Shannon came by every now and again, and just by virtue of his own charisma, interested me. His character, also nothing. They were
What?
all nothing characters. His dad, oh,
Oh, he was a
grumpy.
whinge bag.
Yeah, his dad was a knobhead, but
The guy from Deadwood. The priest who gets ill, I think. His dad, what? You see, the thing is, it is a portrait of, slum living. Not slum, I mean, that's a bit harsh, but like, poor working class
yeah.
towns and bad relationships and life being a bit tough, and so
Yeah,
everyone
it's not
is a bit
very
store bought, a store worn, or shop worn out.
Worn? I don't know what
shop
you.
Worn. I don't know what I'm saying. I think shop worn.
The problem is, in a film like this or a story like this, where everyone's a bit sad and tired, it's
Yeah.
Hard to also then not get sad and tired while
Sure.
you're watching it, because you're like,
Sure.
well, nobody really gets out of that situation. I suppose the ending isn't. It's surprisingly has a happy, maybe a strong word, but like
Cathartic.
also a strong word. It's
Sorry.
it ends on more of an up note than I think I was expecting.
Yeah, because I think anyone who wants the thing is Mud pitches a slightly romantic version of his relationship
Yeah.
with a girl or a woman. Like Reese Witherspoon is his on and off again girlfriend that he talks about very romantically and as if she's the love of his life. But we, as people watching, you get the sense that, sure, this guy is it either exaggerating or it's in his own mind.
Right.
And so the kid, the young boys believe him, but and want to help him with his issue, which is he's on the run. He wants to get his girlfriend back and save her. But he needs their help because he has to stay on this island because he's wanted by the police. So there's a sort of slightly dubious situation that he requires help with. And I think Ellis is on more of the romantic, I believe you, and your
Well, also,
interpretation of events side of
he's
things.
just found out that his parents are getting divorced. So I think there's this idea of like he feels like he has to cling to the idea that people can want to be together and that like
Yeah. He's
his
also.
life is falling apart. Like his life as
He
a kid, like
he
his.
wants love to be a thing that works and not be
Yeah.
like his reality. And
Yeah.
he starts to get his own girlfriend, and that sort of parallels
That's a.
The relationship Mud has with his
I
girlfriend of
didn't.
like delusion and disappointment and stuff.
That subplot of him getting the girlfriend, that was the part of the film where I was like, you could have just not had this.
Yeah, it's absolutely pointless, that bit.
Especially because his girlfriend turns out to be kind of a bitch, but there's no. Why? Who is she? Like, why did she do that to him? Like, what's it? It's almost like there's a weird element of like women betraying men happening in this film that was odd and almost didn't feel like it belonged.
I think there's a general theme of will Ellis come out of this feeling like women are all shits because he's had it confirmed in his life and romance is fake and everyone's a liar, or will he have any hope? And they throw him the one bone they get at the end of the movie to show him that maybe women aren't all bad is that one woman he moves into a new area and a woman, a nice young girl, waves at him and he's like, oh,
Yeah, so
maybe
he's gonna
maybe
move
it is
on.
going to be okay.
But
Maybe I
like
don't have to become an incel because my first love interest
that's what I
might
was
be.
thinking. Like it's 2012 this film was made. It's like I suppose the incel thing was kind of bubbling up at that point. Like it hadn't quite got to the fever pitch that it would become.
Yeah.
But it is almost like looking back at it now, it's like, oh no, this kid's got some red flags. Get him
Yeah, maybe.
away from Reddit or 4chan as soon as you can if he's on there.
Well,
But
Mud is slightly incelish because he's projecting things onto a relationship that he
yeah,
had.
that's true. He's
He's
idealizing it, but also like
she's possibly been leading him on that way. We don't get to see their relationship. We don't see Witherspoon and Carnahay together apart from one scene,
right?
And so it's all told from people who remember their relationship or their
Yeah,
perspective, isn't it?
I felt like I could get on board with how complicated it showed their relationship in terms of like they are both just kind of bad for each other. Like
Yeah.
Mud's a liar and a bum, and
Yeah.
she kind of get like wants to be with him, but also like her way of coping with him being bad for her is to go off with other people. Like they're both, it's it's a toxic relationship that they both keep coming back to, which is, that's a real thing that happens. The thing that didn't sit right with me was Ellis getting a girlfriend and then that being a reflection of that. I was like, that's a bit like you don't need it. Like, you can streamline the story and just have, him being feeling bad because his parents are getting divorced and then projecting that onto Mud and
Yeah, I don't
his
disagree with you. I
partner.
think
There's
it
no
was
need for
there.
the
I think it was there to emphasize the themes and to show, to motivate Ellis to himself. And these boys meet Mud and they slightly admire him. He's this to them. He's a cool dude. To everyone else, he's a fucking reprobate, scummy, dangerous criminal, or at least a lying, bastard. And so they're sort of they've picked a bad friend or like person to emulate, and so it's sort of about will it drag them into something worse or not. So anyway, I was on board enough with these characters. I didn't dislike them. I thought they were drawn from reality at least, if I didn't root for them fully. And I was curious to know where it was going with you, because you instantly think, okay, what crime has this guy done? And he we find out slowly that it was murder. And I guess the story they have is one that you can sort of sympathize with him a bit, but also think you should probably just hand yourself over to the police. And that he has murdered someone who was the, is it, oh, she has a stupid name like Juniper or something, is it? That's
Juniper, yeah.
Reese Witherspoon, his, on and off again love interest, long time girlfriend. Is this? Oh, she's an attractive blonde with birds tattooed on her hands, and I love her, and I'm going to run away with her, and I definitely don't. I am correct in murdering her last lover, who was abusive to her and knocked her down some stairs and caused her to have a miscarriage. So it's like, fuck, fair enough. So I killed him. Yeah, okay. That is a harrowing tale that you can understand someone getting at least a bit angry about. So we sort of are on your side, Mud, but also, you are wanted for a reason. You do need to serve time for your crime.
Probably don't want to get these kids involved in your
Yeah, in your illicit escape.
crimes.
That's fine. They're the only people who've A, seen him, and B, he's a sort of opportunist, isn't he? He's kind of. He's surprised they're helping him, but also pleased, and has his own sort of hobo charms, doesn't he? I guess he's weird. He has weird things to say, like, all I've got is my gun and my shirt, and my shirt's fucking magic and protects me from curses
Yeah,
or something.
he makes bonfires to burn away bad vibes and stuff. Like
He's a magical wizard.
he's a mystical hobo.
Yeah. And he's sort of dumb guy philosopher, isn't he? I guess he's charismatic enough to charm some moron
Yeah,
kid with nothing
he's
better to do.
kind of a.
I also hated that as well.
It's kind of
Good.
a like almost a American like story archetype of the wandering hobo who has like almost mystical knowledge.
What, like the littlest hobo, the dog who travels from town to town helping people?
Maybe.
It definitely draws on the mythology of the wandering hobo. I guess the Incredible Hulk also does the same town to town.
Wow, that would have been a twist for this movie.
Really, yeah, he's on the run because he hulks out occasionally and becomes a
Because he's
massive,
the
muscly green
Incredible
man.
Hulk.
Mudslide, that's what his name could be.
I was thinking that after I had watched it, I was like, that was all right. But then I was also like, I think it got bonus points for me because it's not part of a connected universe of superheroes, or isn't related to Star Wars in some way. Like,
It's
it's
nice
nice
to
to
have a
just watch
break.
something that's is a story that begins and ends and doesn't
That's
set up
true.
sequels or a fucking limited TV series or whatever else the fuck. There's no homework I had to do before watching it.
Wait, yet. Yet until Disney Plus hear this review and how good I thought it was, they'd be like, "Oh, I can let
And they're like,
the
ah, reboot for
BBC."
Mud and then sequels,
We
the
can make
Mud
fucking
verse.
we can make what's his name, Oliphant, be a bad guy sheriff who's after Mud every week. And he can have a companion who's a skeleton and a fat guy. They can go on the run from a teddy bear and an alien or something. No, back on point though. So he is sort of seduced is the wrong word, these young boys, but he's
Oh,
charmed these boys
Jesus.
into he's charmed the boys into lending him a hand. And the boys are kind of boys will be boys territory of, well, let's not tell adults about this. And it's like, oh good. So they're basically on a fetch quest for him of loads of mundane
Yeah.
bits and pieces that can fix a boat, like metal sheets and I don't know, fucking twigs and leaf blowers. Who knows? Like crap they need. They need like
Yeah,
tar and
bits.
bits and bobs. They wombles him up a couple of things off and on, as well as tins of disgusting food. Like he said, he makes a deal. If you get me food, I'll do a deal with you. And it's like, don't you want to specify what food you want? Like, you could have. I mean, I know you're hungry, but you must have preferences. And
Oh God,
he
just
does have to
him.
say at one point that maybe not pumpkin pie filling.
Yeah, I can't really
Like, what the
make a
fuck
meal
am I
out of
gonna do?
pumpkin pie filling.
Oh, you get what my mum's got spare, mate. You fussing beggars can't be choosers, yeah.
Just him necking a tin full of cold green beans.
Yum 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 yum.
Oh.
Delightful.
Wait, the Piggly Wiggly also rhyme their foods.
Did they?
I don't.
Yes.
I don't remember that. Because the Piggly Wiggly
I
comes
can't
into it.
remember if I wrote it down.
Some
Which that's
teen.
where they see Juniper shopping.
Yeah, the hub of teenage life is in a car park. And
Yes.
they're
And
there.
again, quite
Yeah.
realistic.
And they notice they clock from quite a distance a woman coming out of a motel with birds on her hands.
Yeah, that bit confused me where he was like, look at her hands. And I'm like, how the fuck did you see those tattoos from that far away?
Yeah, he's on him. He's called Neckbone because his neck expands all the way out and stretches across to see. But they clock this woman, and they while chatting up the love interest of Ellis, they pop on a side quest to stalk a woman, and then they can report back. Eventually, after a bunch of other conversation, Ellis is like, "Oh yeah, I saw the woman you mentioned, FYI."
So
Just
yeah, this is where I thought that the film was going to go in a she's running away from him because she had like bruises. So I
right.
was
So
like,
apparently, we're
oh
legit.
shit.
She had the Witherspoon had an accident, and the director was like,
Yeah.
"Cool, let's film it."
God, great, use
That works for me. Sorry, it
it.
hurts for you. So yeah, go on. You thought it was going somewhere?
Yeah, I thought like it was going to be that he's the abusive one and she's running away and these kids are like accidentally bringing him back to her.
Like a killer, yeah, to his victim, yeah. I mean, it could have gone that way. Abby, would you have preferred it if it became some horrible, sinister thing, if you were sort of nonplussed with these assholes?
I would have preferred it if Mud had died the first time he got bitten by a snake several years ago.
Oh, Arbor. Hopefully, you want a nice, what's it called? Like, Peggy and Sue canal boat adventure, all sun and loveliness and sing songs on the canal. What do you
My
want?
problem with this isn't like it's not that it's on the river. That could have been good. There's no story.
There is a story. There's a boat in a tree. They're going to get it running. There's a murderer on the run. There's an abused girlfriend. There's all sorts of story. What do you want? The people get shot at the end by an assassino with a silly buzz haircut. Loads of stuff happens.
All they do for ages is very slowly scrump parts.
Scrump.
And
Yeah.
give them to him, and then
And
eventually there's a shootout at the boy's home, which he doesn't deserve.
it was quite brutal as well, because this family, like, this is the other thing that the film does. It's there's not enough excitement in this because the cops aren't going to find Mud, so we need a gang of Christian asshole gangsters who have a little prey but also murder. Like
I liked the yeah, I like that weird that they were all going to pray for the death of the man who killed his son, and they were like, yeah, this like I also liked so yeah, there's this whole setup that there's a, I think they say he's a bounty hunter.
They're
who's
bounty
after
hunters that are hired
Mud, yeah,
by the
and then
family, yeah.
The guy that Mud killed was the son of this like patriarch of this like bounty hunter family.
Or Christian
yeah,
asshole
really,
group or whatever.
Really
yeah.
Like, yeah, some kind of like religious bounty hunters. There's something really intriguing going on there that we never hear more of.
But it's not Dog the Bounty Hunter, not that kind of Christian.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, pricks who will have a little pray and go to a Sunday church meeting occasionally.
And the dad is played by Joe Don Baker, which I was pleased to see him in a film this like late on in his career, because has he died since?
I don't know. It's a while ago.
Anyway,
he just has a phone call though and a prayer. Those are the only scenes he's needed for, really. He's not like very active in it. Like the son or the brother of the murder victim, he I think appeared in Boardwalk Empire as a sort of giggling gangster guy.
He's still alive, Joe Don Baker.
Well, good. Good for him.
But I think he's just retired. This was one of the last things he did, I think. But
ooh.
Yeah, and they're after Mud, and then they're after the kids as a result.
But they have the sort of moral scruples of, okay, so, oh, your asshole son who pushed a woman down the stairs and was a prick, got murdered, that's pretty harsh. You don't want your son, brother to get killed, so you've got a bounty out on the guy who did it, and you want to, you know, a bit of Southern justice or something.
Yeah.
But when you go from, well, let's find him, to all of us take shotguns, break into strangers, some people who know him's family house, and start shooting at the family, you're like,
well,
what the hell are you doing?
I don't think it's ever established that they're good bounty hunters.
No, but there's a difference between, you know, getting Mud, finding him, and shooting up everyone. Presumably they want to kill him without witnesses.
Well, they do also establish that they have the local police in their pocket to an extent as well.
Yeah, but still, it's pretty fucking brazen.
It is. It's a lot. It's a big gesture to turn up at this house and shoot everyone.
The slick back haired arsehole who we see more of, the brother of the dead guy we don't ever see, he is, you know, a kind of knife pulling, abusive man himself, but is like, you know, he doesn't look it, but he's sort of a bit violent and intimidating, and you know, puts Ellis, tries to shit up Ellis and Neckbone, but isn't very effective because they sort of shrug him off more or less. They sort of, you know, don't like him, but they don't fear him per se. Or they should, because they, you know, they have come with guns to one of their houses, and I think they kidnapped Neckbone, didn't they, at one point.
I'm surprised at how willing Ellis often is to just walk up and punch someone. He does it several times.
Yeah, it's a lesson he needs to learn, isn't it? Of, you can't just punch your problems. Like, I fancy a girl. If I punch someone who's mean to her in the face, she'll like me. You know, oh, a man is being abusive to a woman. If I punch him in the face, I'll have to get scared when he fights back, a child. Like, there's a good bit, Abby. I think you liked it as well. But the two boys are, they one of them sells fish with his just random, what did you call it, Abby? Like something about protein, what was it?
Delivering unknown protein.
Just mystery protein gets delivered in a truck. The kid sits on a cooler in the back of a truck. I mean, come on, get inside and wear a belt. But they deliver, Ellis and his dad deliver mystery meat. just people in motels, and part of the finding this juniper woman is taking fish, and they try one door, the guy's like, fuck off, and then the next door, luckily the slick back haired guy is threatening Juniper, and they Ellis can go in and act hard and then back down. Well, he gets fought back, and then there's a good bit where Neckbone is like, we're just selling fish! And holds
good,
up these
good
bags
way to,
of meat.
good way to establish your villain by the first thing they do is punch a child in the face.
Oh, he's wrong, yeah. I like also when Juniper's rescued by these admittedly young boys, and they sort of, they de-escalate, and the guy goes away after making threats. She's like, "Oh, I'll buy all of your fish." Like, what? A fucking trunk load of just raw fish. Why are
What are you
you
gonna
buying
do with
this? Give
it?
him some money, but like, don't buy. Don't keep. We can cook it all in the motel room on the radiator. What are you doing? I'm gonna make a shit ton of sushi, and I'm gonna put it on me and go to a strip club and become a sushi platter. That's probably what she was thinking. I don't know, but I mean, you like that bit, right? With her shouting about fish, good stuff.
I'm always shouting about fish.
Fishwife. Abby,
Mean, it
you were
was all
there.
right.
It was all right. It's okay. I mean, you're allowed to not like it. I'm not saying you can't, you have to enjoy it. I'm just, trying to provoke something out of you.
It's just I don't think I'd liked anything.
Well, there's a weird thing that I can't quite put my finger on with this film, because I sort of feel like I'm in the middle, because I did like it overall. Like I kind of it, like it ended and my response was oh. But I also don't find I don't know how to explain it, because I kind of feel like I felt the same as both of you somehow when watching it, because like I think I liked it, but I also don't feel like there was much to it, I guess, is what is like it's not that it wasn't lacking depth. It just didn't, it was simple, but I also feel like it was intentionally meant to be. But it
But
also
in
means that
essence, what happens? A couple of boys help a man get boat
there wasn't a
past. They...
ton, I didn't come away with a lot.
Sure. Well, a young boy learns a life lesson or two about growing up and love and helping people and your friends and
Yeah, I mean, there's a
share. You
coming of
know,
age aspect to it, but it's
man gets boat made, runs away. Boy gets bitten by snake. like those are the main things, aren't they? A bit of a shootout, I suppose.
there is one thing that I do want to point out that I did not like, and that was the couple of songs that were on the soundtrack. I'm fine with the lazy slide guitar stuff. That all worked fine, but I didn't need the kind of mopey country singing that's
Yeah.
like some sits somewhere between like Garth Brooks and Pearl Jam. It's
Let's
like
what yeah. Let's have some Fugazi. We've had the t-shirt. Let's have the band. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it didn't do anything for me, I guess. That is one aspect. I don't know, I felt drawn in by the plot in a, I liked finding out, like, okay, so they introduce in what's his name, Tom or something, this older guy with a terrible tall grey buzz cut. He's just a guy who lives opposite the river, Ellis, on the weird houseboat, and it's a someone they know in common, and it turns out it's basically Mud's father figure. Because everyone in this has sort of broken homes and non-traditional family setups, but Tom knows Mud and might help. And when they tell him about Mud, like I think Ellis sort of goes to the house, but because Tom is some sort of ex—I don't know—was he ex-CIA or something, or
No, he's ex,
soldier,
but
a soldier?
Mud makes him out to be some kind of like assassin, and then Tom is like, "No, I
I
was,
shot a gun in the army or something. I'm
yeah,
a
I think he was a
marksman.
sniper, yeah, but yeah, he
Yeah.
wasn't like an assassin, and that's when we start to get this thing of like Mud's full of shit, like he just
Yeah.
fucking lies all the time."
Yeah, and Tom comes out and is like, "Why are you hunting me, boy?" It's like, all right,
I've
mate.
yeah, the so. That was something that a scene that took me by surprise and I quite liked was them bringing Tom out to Mud, and like they were doing it with this sort of like, whoa, this stuff's getting cool. Tom's gonna go out and help Mud, and
Yeah.
some shit's gonna go down. And then all that happens is that Tom gives him a row, and then they take him back.
Yeah, and then Tom basically tells the boys, just leave him alone. He's a
Yeah,
criminal on the run. Don't be
he's
fucking
fucking,
stupid.
yeah.
He's for you. And then later on, when Ellis chats to Tom in Tom's house, Tom's giving it the old wise old man shit and say, look, you know, what do you know? What do you don't know this guy, stop helping him. And then Ellis is like, well, I know a few things. And then Tom's like, listen, blah 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 blah. And the kid's like, right, gotta go, fuck you. You're wrong, old man. Like he's a bit corny. But I like he just fucks it. He's like, oh, I'm not listening to this shit. Like, never mind your wise old man speak. I've got romantic notions in mind for Juniper and Mud, so fuck you. But Tom is an interesting character because he's reluctant to help, but he does give a row to Mud and not he doesn't fully put the kibosh on, he just won't help the
Yeah.
plan.
Well, I think it's implied that he knows Mud's gonna do some stupid shit anyway.
Yeah, he's
Like, he
wise to
can't
the
stop him.
situation. Yeah. But then he comes through in the end. He decides to sort of commit fully to helping Mud by sniping
Murdering people.
people.
It was kind of I suppose by that point in the film I wasn't expecting a full shootout. And it
Because
was
it's been a
quite
slow burn
cathartic.
thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was quite cathartic to see all of these people who, had just invaded this house and were shooting in a way that suggests they didn't give a shit if they killed the family to get Mud.
Yeah.
And it was fun seeing them all just be fucking gunned down from a distance, especially the main guy, the I guess the closest thing to the film has to a villain,
Yeah.
getting absolutely fucking nailed on the porch.
After McConaughey has jumped twice through the same window a couple of times as well.
Yeah, that was weird. I guess
It was.
there's only so many places he can escape.
There's a lot of people, like the bounty hunter Christian blokes, all seem to have shotgun type guns. Yeah, I think they mostly have rifles or shotguns. And they have the aim of stormtroopers because they shoot the family members in the Ellis's family, but also Mud. And they seem to shoot him in the face and manage to hit door frame at one point. And I think when he dies in the water, they tag him, but he mysteriously survives, possibly because Michael Shannon is a deep diver.
Okay, I know it's like it's the at the end of the film, but
We can
we're all
talk
over
about
the
it,
place
fine.
anyway. Like, I didn't quite understand what had happened because when it shows after the aftermath, so Mud's jumping in the water to get away, he gets hit,
Yeah, his
and you don't know
back.
whether he got like full on hit or whether he got just like,
Yeah.
not non-lethal, and he goes under the water, and then we don't see him come back up, and the kids obviously assume he's dead or whatever. And then we get a shot of like a boat where
And some
Mud
lights from
appears to,
underwater as well.
well, Mud appears to be asleep in the boat
Yeah.
because he's like, I swear I'm not, I like, I was
It
I
was hard
paying
to
attention to
tell.
this because he was snoring, right?
He was, I think he was asleep. It was hard to see. It was nighttime
Okay.
lighting.
And then we see Galen under the water with his
With his
big
helmet on and
helmet.
with
And
lights and
earlier in the
stuff.
film, we saw that, he was experimenting with putting big floodlights on the helmet,
Yes, yeah.
which is fucking insane. Again, I want a film about
But
Galen.
he's interesting.
But why was he asleep in the boat?
Well, maybe
And
this is my infer my guess my interpretation is Galen could have found because he's underwater and he doesn't come up. He maybe swam to safety or he I don't know he can't be unconscious for very long. But Galen could have rescued him from underwater or found him. And then while he's resting in the boat, Galen's like, "Well, I may as well crack on doing my job."
But then we
he
go.
can't just be resting, you know. He was shot a bit.
Well, that's what I mean. Then a bit later on, when it reveals that, like, it
He's
fully
alive.
reveals that he survived, he's all bandaged up and is still like bleeding from the wound and seems
Yeah.
like more fucked up than he was in the bit where we saw him asleep in the boat.
We
So I
don't
was
really
really
see him long.
confused.
It's just like a shot of him lying there. He could have
Yeah, I
been
guess.
on
I
the
just,
bandage.
I found that really, the way
But
that
yeah.
was portrayed was odd. I didn't quite
I think
fall,
they were trying to
especially
hold
because,
back on clearly showing he's fine. Look, Tom's found him and is going to sail away with him.
it just, I don't know, it seemed almost, I guess, unnecessarily vague, especially considering how the film has been quite
Planning, yeah.
clear generally up
Yeah.
until that point. I was like, what's happening?
Oh.
It was weird as well that he was like, wake up, come and have a look at this. And then it's just the river.
Look, it's big
I
and
think it's meant to
open.
just be
Freedom.
freedom,
Yeah.
expanse.
It was better than him becoming a fucking mermaid or something. Like he becomes a water horse or something mad. That would have been
again,
supernatural.
like the Incredible Hulk, that would have been a hell of a twist.
He wasn't
It's kind of like
he wasn't
that
a
Robert
liar, he was
Pattinson.
supernatural.
Was that Robert Pattinson film, Remember Me, the one where it's just like a really bog standard romantic drama until the very end when it reveals he's in one of the towers on 9/11? And
Jesus.
that's literally just how the film ends. And it's like, what the fuck? Fuck you. You can't just fucking throw that in at the end.
I mean, if this had been and Mud was in the 9/11 tower, I'd be, what? How
But
did you
that's what
get
I'm saying.
here?
And then at the very end of the film, during the shootout, he turns into the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good. I mean, you would have been disappointed as part of the extended universe, I guess.
Yeah, because then I know I'm going to have to watch all the fucking Avengers films to find out what happens to Mud.
Mud teams up with Ant-Man and has a quantum adventure in the rivers of someone's bloodstream. Anyway, but before shootout, disappear, reappear, escape to, the Gulf of Mexico, we do have some world advice from Abby's favorite character, Galen. He wants the boy, like, Galen is savvy because he's out on the river. He's sort of seen everyone sort of sees the boys that are getting things and going to this island.
Right, yeah.
And
He
so
sees
that,
them with Mud.
yeah, and he sort of, him and his weird friend are out doing their scuba diving malarkey. And he's like, he does it with Neckbone, his nephew, doesn't he, sometimes.
Yeah.
And he tentatively give some uncle, like trailer park uncle advice to Ellis, who there's sort of like, look, while I got you. There's a funny bit where he's in Galen's house and Galen points to him to come closer on the couch. And then he dispenses some advice, which is along the lines of fucking look, when your friends get in trouble, you gotta not let them get in too much trouble. And in terms of girls, you gotta bounce back and get your tip wet again, if you know what I
God,
mean. He
yeah.
just says some really unsavory
There
things.
was, again, this is one of those moments where the film was quite grounded for me because when I was a kid, there was always some older boy who would like say that exact kind of stuff, like, in a more Welsh way, but like, yeah, that was very like, hell,
Unsavory elder brother style
don't
advice.
say stuff like that
Don't
to a
go for it.
child.
But he wasn't, all of his advice was sound because he's basically like, don't fuck around because you're getting in more trouble than you can handle. You could get shot or killed, or you're aiding a criminal. I'm vaguely aware of what's happening, but I'm cool enough as an uncle to stand back and let you do it. But
Women are like my ceiling fan because
yeah, this ceiling fan moment was great. Yeah, it's a metaphor about, look, in the big old river of life, some shit is just
well,
shit and some shit is valuable. Like the ceiling fan that we've got. This is the best ceiling fan I've ever found in a river. So
I
that's good.
do think it's maybe I read it wrong, but it seems like it's implied that he also knows Mud to a
He might
degree.
know. I don't think he knows. Not for definite, but
Because
yeah.
he sees them with Mud, and that's when he's talking about like not getting involved in things or letting certain things go. Like I think he
They must be
knows,
from the same time. They're young, they
yeah, and they're
must know him
from
from his youth.
right, and
But
I
not
think
friend. I don't
he
think they're friends or nothing. It's just he
no,
knows him of
but he's
him.
aware of Mud's like reputation, and he's trying to kind of steer the kids away with it, but without fully saying it, because yeah, because as an uncle, he's better than like Ellis's dad at
But he
actually being
doesn't,
like a parent.
I think with Neckbone as well, he is basically Neckbone's father, but he doesn't, he wants to be more mentioned than that and kind of, he respects Ellis and Neckbone enough to treat them like adults. I think generally there's a are they adults or are they not vibe to the whole thing, because like Ellis's father is this endlessly depressing man who's like bitter about his marriage and everything's a problem. You've got to work hard, son, and women are bitches.
Life
They
is work.
trick
Women are
you.
awful. Look at my beard that looks like I didn't grow it, that it was stuck on. Maybe it was.
Also, somehow your mum leaving us means they're going to demolish the houseboat that she owns. She doesn't care about her son and her ex-husband not being homeless. She's a bitch. Don't
Bit I
love
did like I found it really funny. I think because it's very common here to see guys wearing like those kind of hats, those like
her.
baseball
Trucker
hat,
hats. It almost looked
trucker
like
hat.
parody level of hat. It was like fishing supplies or something.
And he has it on all the time. It might have been Bass Pro, which is a big like fishing
I don't think it
thing. I
was,
don't
but it was just like a
know.
horrible brown fishing supply
But
shop.
Anyway, he was wearing the hat for the whole like I don't think he ever takes it off
He
except
was sleeping in it, didn't he? Oh, no, he didn't
the
sleep in it.
the bit where they find out that Ellis stole an engine to for mud for the thing, and they're like, shouted at him about being a thief, but it also turns into an argument between them, and he gets really aggressive with Ellis, and then Sarah Paulson's character gets angry at him and then slaps his hat off, but he reacts like she hit him in the face.
He's kind of cut by her a little bit, isn't
That's the thing, like his reaction in that moment is like once she slaps his hat off, that's when he like withers, like
he? He's
he's
impotent
lost.
now, yeah. You could take the trucker out of the hat, but you can't take the hat out of the dinner. Abby, I mean, we got a little bit of. Do you agree? It was sage-like advice from Galen about getting your tip wet again with women,
Oh.
or the chandelier
Sage is a
metaphor.
strong word,
Yeah.
but it's advice, sure.
It's more advice than anyone else gives him.
True.
It's the perfect uncle. Well, it's not perfect because you don't want to be that kind of uncle who's like sort of topless and but has fuck music and stuff. But it's the cool kind of parenting. We straddle a line with respect and metaphors and advice, but also is that, he also was like, do you want to not go and hang out with a criminal with a gun and maybe
Yeah, I
stay
do like the
here
way
and
he
play
tries
shit
to.
guitar with me?
It
Right, it was brief for you, Abby, but I mean, it was there. He was your little island with a boat in a tree on it in the
boats
film. He was
up
your.
in the tree. That is what you are.
With porn and bread and some beans in a tin.
Also, speaking of being on the island with that boat, when does Mud have time to go to the gym? Because Matthew McConaughey is again trying his best to make himself look unattractive, but is also fucking ripped in this
Yeah,
film.
come on. He's a.
Yes, but he also looked like his flesh was staple gunned onto his body.
I think that might be a. I think that happens to like people in, particularly like actors who are always like. The requirement for an actor like him is often to be either very, very skinny or really muscular, and he's like constantly vacillating between the both.
Yeah, and sort of,
And that just gives you like almost a weird sort of lumpy
and
frame, I think, after a
sun
while.
baked as well because of the warm areas you must live in, stay in, like in California and stuff. I think it's an odd ask. I think he also has to be attractive enough for someone to what like if he wasn't v vaguely attractive, why the fuck would you believe any woman would be interested? Like, I mean, he must. I mean, Reese Witherspoon as Juniper, you don't think that you think she's not with him because he's a bit of a liar and an exaggerist and not reliable, but you don't think it's because he looks horrible. Like, he must stink of mud, literally, and beans and his bolts and
I
stuff.
was thinking that for a lot of the film is like, I bet he smells really
Is that
bad. Because
one
even if he
outfit?
does try and wash his clothes, he's washing them in a river.
And he's the kind of asshole who, when he brags about like, oh, I'm an outlaw on the run, he's like, yeah, I never stay in the same place twice, I mean, I can get why you can't have a fire all the time because it would draw attention, but you have a boat in a tree where you keep your stuff, and you what you make little hammocks in the trees and watch, and he always seems to be able to sneak up on the boys even when he's not expecting them, like when Ellis comes at night and stuff. And it's just like, who's this fucking? He thinks he's a ninja, does he? What's fuck off? You're sleeping in that boat like a sad squirrel, like hiding in a tree, like, ooh, crying, cry wanking yourself to sleep, mate. Don't pretend to be hard. But I don't know. He has the physique of Matthew McConaughey, who's pretending. Like Matthew McConaughey is always trying to. Oh yeah, I'm skinny, but somehow I had time to do Pilates as well. I don't know. It's just the thing you all movies in Hollywood are like, well, they're a little too attractive for what they're doing, but fuck it. Like, there's so many pudgy faced actors that are in like high school type rom coms that are just chiseled. Like, a little pudgy face or scrawny guy, and then they suddenly turn up in a superhero movie and they have their actual abs and chiseled six pack and stuff.
Well, it's fucking required to be in a superhero movie. You have to look like an action figure.
Yeah, it's just fucking. Even like people like Michael Cera and stuff, you go, oh yeah, I bet he's just got a fucking. I bet he could like wash socks on his abs or something. There's like a glasses guy who got a real chubby face in a bunch of comedies, and he's just fucking ripped under there, and it's just like a, I don't know. There's a guy in the Misfit, the guy from Game of Thrones at Misfits is absolutely hench, and then he puts a top on, and he's like a little scrawny douchebag guy. Anyway, Hollywood, that's the answer there. What else happens in this? So we get like, they do fix the boat somehow. Somehow Neckbone is the one to be relied upon about like actually fixing the boat.
Yeah, Neckbone's the most useful character in the film.
Yeah,
Neckbone and his uncle. Like they are the ones who are doing stuff.
Yeah, Neckbone has a motorbike that works. He has permission to use it. He doesn't have to, like, not like the boat that they borrow. He doesn't have to be back at a certain time. He's canny and he's a bit wiser than Ellis. And he's handy with, you know, motors, it seems. They like tar up a hole, and I don't know what they use the corrugated iron on. There's a whole bunch of shit that goes into fixing this boat. Meanwhile, Ellis is being a wet fart in his relationship. It is kind of boring when he's just, oh, you can date that. Like the girl's like, oh, you could date me if you could find my number. And he's like, oh, I'll look you up in a phone book. Oh, that was easy. And now we'll have an awkward date, and I'll not get anywhere with you because you're a bit mean. You'll just ignore me and be like, you're not my boyfriend just because I led you on that way. So Ellis has a lot of bullshit romance plot, whereas Neckbone is like more practical. So in that sense, I liked him more, even though we sort of don't get as much of him off the two of them, innit? But they do fix the boat, and it is seaworthy. And then there's the snakes thing, isn't it? They set up the snakes. They kind of telegraphed the snakes, didn't they?
Because there's the fight, because they have this whole plan that they have discussed with Juniper, that she's going to meet them. They're going to take her out to Mud, and then they're going to sail off together. But when they go and get her, she's run off to a bar, and they manage to find her, and she's like flirting with another guy. Like she's basically decided she's not going to go, but without telling them.
Is she one of those pricks who sort of, what's it called, an Irish goodbye or whatever?
Yeah.
Where she seems vulnerable and up for the plan a little apprehensive, but then is like, yeah, I'm going to abandon this in a shitty way.
It's kind of realistic, shitty behavior that they both do. Like, Mud sucks in his own way, but then so does she. And like
they have their own, they both are crap people.
Yeah.
But she's right in that Mud's plan will be insane. She will go on the run like Bonnie and Clyde. That's bad.
Yeah, no, it's also, fucking, it's all stupid. Like, yeah, it's
don't,
not.
Don't say I'm not going to come and give reasons. Don't just go and flirt with a guy in a bar and repeat your toxic behavior. You know, I don't know. Maybe this pool playing guy is really awesome and is the first decent boyfriend she'll have, but probably not. Yeah, so that's sort of scuppers things. Right, so, you know, the key points are Juniper has backed out of the plan after Ellis and Neckbone have worked so hard and have gotten into trouble by stealing the most, you know, most of the stuff is just crap. They have a montage of just stealing crap. But the tricky thing is they have to steal, like, a boat engine. And though it may seem like it isn't wanted, the bloke who owns it is very much like, yeah, I did notice that's gone, and I've contacted your parents, and you're in trouble, young man. But they nicked it, whatever. It all pales in comparison to the trouble they're in when shotgun people turn up and start shooting.
Well, that's what, yeah, the snake bite thing happens.
Oh yeah, snake. Yeah, because I did. That's what I was saying. Is I find it annoying that they had to, every time they walked across the island to find Mud, they looked into a pit with, they had like a little rivery thing that was full of snakes writhing around, and they had to cross that. There was no other way to go around the massive island, or the tiny island, I suppose. But they crossed it every time and looked at it and threw stones at them. And you're like, these snakes are coming back to literally bite them in the ass, aren't they? And what caused Ellis is all has a lover's tiff with Mud, doesn't he? Because
Yeah,
been
well,
broken
they
up
fight
with.
about. Yeah, the fight is because of basically everything that's happened, and Ellis finally realizes, the fuck am I doing? Why am I helping this random weird man? So he goes stomping off, and that's when he falls in the pit, and Mud jumps in and digs him out.
He's previously explained how he's been bit by a snake in the past. I don't know if that's a metaphor.
And almost died.
Yeah, and he talks about how dangerous and what the time limit is. So that means he has experience, and I think he markers him up on his leg to show, oh, at this time
I
point,
did. I liked
it was
that. I
this
liked
swollen.
that there was, at this point in the film, a little like scene where Mud gets to actually be properly competent at something.
Yes,
Like,
that's good, I think.
whatever experience he's had, he does seem to really know how to handle a snake bite.
And he cares. He's like, these boys have helped him, and he's not just going to use them. He, like,
Right. Yeah, he
is
risks getting
willing.
caught by taking him into hospital.
Did that win you round a bit with Mud, who didn't, you wanted him to die early on pre-film, Abby? Did he become a bit of a hero when he's willing to risk his own skin or his horrible snake-covered tattooed skin for a boy and his poisoned. I got all
Well, I could.
confused with the snake on him and the snakes that are really there. Has he redeemed himself, is all I'm asking.
Well, yeah, sort of. Well, I consider that sort of
Bare
basic
minimum.
humanity. If,
Sure.
like, if someone's gonna
Yeah.
die, you do what you can to save them.
Well, if you're in trouble, some people wouldn't, risk going to jail or getting murdered
He
for a.
also owes them quite a lot. So, it would have been, I think, extra shitty, not just from a basic humanity
Yeah.
aspect, but also they've done him a lot of favors.
Yeah.
But that's
I
what.
like that later on, Neckbone is also like, oh, Mud dinged up my bike a bit. It's like, he was fucking saving your friend's life, mate. Chill out. But Abby,
Yeah, and then the.
was there
Oh.
anything in this latter part that was a did you get any like catharsis out of anything? At least it, though if it, it had heroic moments and stuff. Did you feel any of it had been worthwhile? Get any of the
No, I
story's
was
arc?
disappointed when he was alive.
No, but like, you just what you think it's fitting for Mud to have been shot in the ass and die in the river he couldn't escape on. That's what you
him
wanted.
to have risked his to have risked himself to save Ellis, taking him to the hospital, and that's how he's undone, that would have been a noble death. Instead, he got
Yeah.
shot wet. And then he
Wet.
continues to live on his meaningless existence.
Also, if he hadn't have come and talked to Ellis in his house, they wouldn't have come there and shot up the joint. So he kind of
Yeah,
endangered them all.
he does have a habit of putting everyone around him in danger.
I think that suits his character, though. That's the myth
Yeah.
of him, is that he's always in trouble, and it has proven to be true in this case as well.
But yeah, he goes and visits because he's gonna leave on the book because he also does. That was the yeah,
That
that's what the
part
fight
of the
was about.
row.
He made Ellis break up with Juniper for
Yeah, they're sending notes, aren't they, partly? And
yeah, it's I
they sort
did
of have to
laugh. Like,
draw
God, are they
in.
fucking 12?
I was gonna
Yeah,
say
they are. They're 12.
I was laughing at how childish their like communication was.
Do you want to send a text, mate? Fuck's sake. WhatsApp, isn't it? Or maybe not in 2012. Still, you send a text between playing Snake on your phone.
Yeah, so he finally is like, oh, I'm actually gonna leave, and does he goes and gives her a wave, and that's his way of growing up. And
Well,
then
it was after, so he rescues Ellis, takes him to the hospital, dumps him there,
yeah.
and tells him about the poisoning, and then some fucking hospital person grasses up that Mud was there to the reach on these bounty hunters. They're like the police and some person in the hospital. They're all connected to this presumably corrupt man.
Yeah, that was weird. I thought it would just be that, like, he told the police and then the police would tell the
Say,
bounty
oh,
hunters. But it
the
seems like he
description
phoned
matches.
Joe Don Baker
He's just got
waiting by the phone.
connections. But he's in town. So while I'm here, I can pop to
Yeah,
your
as I'm
motel and
here.
have a look myself.
But yeah, so he's now going to sail away by himself, but wanted to say goodbye to Ellis, and then that brings everyone
Yeah.
down on the house, and then we have the shootout that we talked about earlier. And Tom busts out his sniper rifle and just kills everyone who isn't the family or Mud.
If you think about it as well, so I don't know, Tom, who lives across the river, I don't know if he knows Mud has turned up there or has spotted that,
I
but
think he's been watching. It seems like
okay,
he's
he's
been
just
keeping an
he's
eye on it.
keeping an eye out because he knows there'll be trouble. So he's instantly like, well, I'll get my sniper rifle ready. And as soon as people with shotguns emerge, I'll start picking them off.
I do like just a general comment. I always like seeing somebody using a bolt action rifle. There's just something really satisfying about the shot and then pulling that bolt
He got
back.
hurt like b pulling
Yeah, he got
the
burned. Yeah,
like
because the casings are hot.
Hmm.
But yeah,
Well,
it's
I
always.
like the only explanation we get for Tom, other than he was a marksman, is Mud defending him to Ellis was like, well, you know, he loved someone once and the woman he loved it too he loved her for two lifetimes worth of life. But when his ex-wife died or Tom's what you know partner died and their son or child died as well in
Yeah, it was just
childbirth or
she.
something.
Yeah, she died in childbirth, so he lost both of them
Yeah,
and
so
was
he's
just
like
by
this,
himself.
yeah, lone wolf widow guy. And so having him piss off with Mud makes sense because he's got a thing keeping him there. Plus, he's now a wanted
Yeah, I
multiple
was going to
time
say,
murderer.
there's nothing keeping him there, and he killed a bunch of people.
More people than Mud now, so they may as well sail off into the sunset. Although I imagine they'll get on each other's nerves after a while, won't they? Surely.
Yes.
I know they're sort of father and son-ish, but it's probably best for Mud to be away from Juniper, because come on, mate, fuck's sake! I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't like. I like that. See, I don't mind the bit of real life stuff where it's like miserable family conversations and frustrations and teenage like it captures the frustration of being a teenager who's not con you're adult enough to do stuff but not in charge of your life, and you have interesting figures you meet in the world that you sort of that form who you are as a person. And I think there was a lot of journey into this world that we go on that I enjoyed, and though the characters as dimwits or assholes or a bit naive or slimy, or just some of them are a little, the characters are a little shallow, but I liked
I think
this world we were in.
it's more that to a degree, I think we said this about I think I said this about oh fuck, I can't remember the name of the film.
It reminded me a bit of Ironweed, but mainly because homeless people are having harrowing lives.
Kind of a little bit. No,
What did we do? One
for
false
fuck's
move.
sake, yes.
Yeah.
I think I said the same thing about One False Move in that there's sometimes it's difficult when, in terms of characterization, something can be realistic to a fault. And it's like it's realistic in that like everyone's a bit shit, and that can be a kind of a slog. It's like
Yeah. Do you know what I think it is? For you, Abigail. This is a bit like Daria's relationship to Beavis and Butthead. She just doesn't want to have anything to do with these fucking reprobate teens. Like, do you know what I mean? And you had to put up with it because I pitched this film, and you were like, "Oh, this is below me, and I don't want to be a part of it." But here I am.
yeah,
So it wasn't something you liked, but I feel bad because I genuinely liked it, but and I feel like I wasn't trying to pick something awful that you'd hate, you know? But you didn't jam with it. I mean, do you have anything else you want to say about it? Final thoughts, I guess, before I guess JB can give some final thoughts.
not really.
Oh, brilliant. One man's chandelier in a river is another man's pile of shit that he throws out.
I like the idea of pulling an entire chandelier off a river.
And it works. You get it working. You're like, good. You also tear down the houseboat at the end in a kind of, that's that chapter over. Now the boy will accept his life living in his mum's fucking new house. Oh, sad, the houseboats. The horrible, worn out, dilapidated houseboats.
That full of bullets now and that.
Yeah. I mean, so just wish you hadn't seen it. Oh well, just didn't like it, so tough, is it? That's all we're getting.
Yeah, it's like it didn't engage me at all. I was bored. I can't even hate it because not enough happened for me to hate
Oh,
it.
is that worse? That's not worse. There's Michael Bay movies that genuinely fill me with anger. Fucking Transformers 2. Racist piece of shit.
Is Transformers 2 the one where one of the Transformers has visible bollocks, or is
That's
that the
right.
first
It
one?
is, yeah. That's the second one. Good stuff. All right, Abby didn't like it, but it didn't float her boat. Jamie, what have you got to say about it?
I did like it, but with the caveat that I didn't f like. I struggled to find much to talk about with it. Like my, my way of engaging with films is to sort of read everything into them,
I think
and
you could
this,
read this fairly simply. There's a little bit of
yes, it's.
subtext and a little bit of
Sure, like it has some themes that are,
yes.
consistent throughout it, and it's constructed in a specific way. It's not like
Yeah.
realistic. It's not like cinema verite or whatever.
Yeah. But you can get it first time. There's no repeat viewing needed.
Right. And my way of consuming things is fairly pretentious.
Sure.
And this film is fairly unpretentious. It like that's I'm assuming, kind of Jeff Nichols thing. But for me that makes it a little bit harder to like it's I'm not I'm glad I'm I was glad I watched it because it's quite because it's something that's out of my usual wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But at the same time it's like yeah, it wasn't bad. It just what am I gonna say? Like it's you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
I also and I like Matthew McConaughey, but I don't have any problem with him. I don't have any problem with this film. Shrug. It's a really strange feeling because it's like wanting to call something mediocre, but also wanting to call it good, because I don't think it is mediocre. I just didn't. I'm not engaging with it, but I think for different reasons than Abby. Like my brain's like, there's more. There's got to be more I can talk about in it, but like there isn't, and that's fine.
It's too much of a well-observed coming of age story,
Almost
but then
kitchen
it's got
sink
some,
drama kind of thing.
yeah. But for me, there's enough of it is the riverboat flavor of it makes it more interesting than just teenagers having a difficult upbringing.
Yeah, and I mean, I say kitchen sink drama. I tend to associate that. I don't know if that's the origin of the term, but I tend to associate it with more like British
Well,
dramas.
there was girlfriend beating and broken homes.
Yeah, but. The there is, but when it's portrayed in America, it's still somehow less depressing than when it's portrayed in the UK.
There's fun stuff like boats and trees,
I
and then
can't imagine
Matthew
if
McConaughey
this
swings on a rope with a chainsaw, going, "Hey, cut it down!
if
I've
this
Daffy ducked the branch I was cutting.
if
Hooray!"
this exact film was made but set in the UK with barely any difference, somehow it would be 10 times more depressing.
Yeah, maybe. It would also be presumably on a fucking canal boat. And there's no fucking way that's getting up in a tree. Just be a canal boat in a pile of trolleys that are in a canal, and I don't know,
Would just
on
no,
a
the
coal
thing
tip or
up in the
something.
tree would be a Tesco trolley, and that's what Mud's gonna use
Oh, he lives
to
in a Tesco
escape.
trolley. Yeah, he's gonna roll down the hill like it's Last of the Summer Wine. Oh dear. Yeah, this is kind of last. This is basically, if this was British, it'd be Compo would be enlisting the help of some teenagers to
Oh
get
my
Nora
God,
Batty.
it's Junior Last of the Summer Wine.
Nailed it. Anyway, let's bid farewell to this podcast and as we set sail on a journey to the next film to have another discussion about
set
it for
sail in
another
our tin
pod.
bath.
Yeah. Put the plug in, for Christ's sake. Don't touch any snakes.
Oh, and also, Arkansas is where the majority of like Piggly Wigglies are.
Good to know. If ever you're in a mood for a Piggly Wiggly,
they're mostly southern and eastern states.
I feel like Marks and Spencer's need to do a deal with them because they sell Percy Pig sweets. I feel like
Marks
would be
and
the
Spencer's would never
the
to the
polar
level.
Opposite. I feel like they need to do a brand swap though. Like they Piggly Wiggly should start selling jelly pigs' faces. And I don't know if Piggly Wiggly have their own brand anything that they could sell to M&S, but this is not just this is not
Don't
just
worry, I'm gonna be doing more research.
This isn't just the face of a pig in sugar form. This is M&S Piggly Wiggly pig in a face, pig's face sweets. Delicious. Anyway, bye bye.
Bye.